exciting because I'd had the opportunity to preach the Word of God that night after the evening service. The church had done what churches normally do, which was they'd had a reception in honor of the new pastor and his wife, and we'd had a great time. We came home at the end of the reception, and I learned two things very quickly. I learned, number one, we had tornado sirens going off, and at that point I learned for the first time ever that Aliceville is part of Tornado Alley when it comes to Alabama weather. And then we got to our house and we discovered there were about 10 or 12 people in line outside of our back door. And every one of them was saying, "Where have you been? Where have you been? We've been looking for you." And I made the second discovery. And you know what I learned? I learned our house was the only basement for blocks around when tornadoes came. Judith and I learned a lesson that day. We learned from then on, if there was a black cloud over the sky, start making coffee and start fixing sandwiches, because we were the neighborhood storm shelter. Tornadoes. They're frightening things, aren't they? Those weather events that come down out of the sky and you don't know where they're going to land and you don't know what they're going to do. And it is a terrifying thing. I don't know what kind of phobia, fear of tornadoes are, but I know we all ought to have them. And when you think about that, you recognize that when Jesus first asked that question, it didn't make any sense to his disciples. He asked them, "Why are you so fearful?" Why were they afraid? How could he ask that kind of question? Because they were in the middle of that kind of experience. While we might experience the coming of a tornado on the Sea of Galilee, so often the weather would combine and all of a sudden fierce storms would arise out of calm skies. And that's exactly what was going on that day in the lives of the disciples. Now they understood Jesus had been asleep when the storm rushed in. But all he had to do was stand up and look around to realize why they were so afraid. The winds were raging. The waves were crashing over the sides of the boat. Their chances of surviving the storm seemed to be failing by the moment. Besides that, they also realized they wouldn't be in this situation if it hadn't been for Jesus, because at the end of the day, when he had sent the crowds away and they thought they were settling in for the night, he's the one who said to them, "Let's cross to the other side." And as darkness fell, they found themselves in a boat, and the boat was in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden, storms were raging all around them, and they were sure they were going to die. Who wouldn't be afraid in that kind of situation? There are times when fear just seems to make sense. It may be fear of circumstances like a sudden storm. It may be fear of what might happen tomorrow. It might be fear of external threats. It might be fear of internal impulses. There are times when it just makes sense to be afraid. During this past week, I've been given the privilege to minister to several families in our church who were facing situations that gave them reasons to be afraid. But in the midst of a world where uncertainty and fear are all around you, the Lord still asks that same compelling question: why are you so afraid? He looks down on his people and the things that we struggle with and the times when fear assaults us, and the Lord asks us the question, why are you so afraid? How can you find peace in the midst of life's storms? What will give you the strength to stand no matter what comes your way? Why did Jesus challenge his followers not to be afraid? And why is he saying the same thing to you and to me today, in the midst of our lives and in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our challenges? He looks at us and he says, no reason for you to fear. So this morning, I want to invite you to join those disciples and find the answer that they discovered in the midst of the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus first said to them, "Why are you afraid? I am with you." One of the things that makes this question so compelling is the surprise you hear in the Savior's voice. "Why are you afraid? Don't you know I'm here? I'm right here with you. I don't know what else may be going on, but this is what I can tell you. I am here." The disciples had already been eyewitnesses to so many things the Lord had done. Lepers had been cleansed. The blind were able to see. Demons had been cast out. The sick were made well. They had been given front row seats to all of the miracles that Jesus had been performing. In essence, they were struggling because they were in the midst of a storm, and they recognized, while we have been witnesses to everything else, now it's happening to us. Now we're the ones that are struggling. And that's just what Jesus was telling his disciples, is that his presence alone should be their source of confidence. "I see what's going on. I recognize why you're struggling. I see the threats that are around you. I see the storms that are engulfing you, but I recognize something. I am here with you. Why are you so afraid?" In those times when you're afraid, the same thing should be true in your own life. We should hear that voice saying, "I am with you." What does the Lord promise to you and to me? He doesn't promise us that things are always going to be fine in our lives. He doesn't say you'll never find yourself in danger. He doesn't say fearful days won't come. He doesn't tell you you'll never experience hardship. All you have to do is read the book of Acts and you recognize that God's people found themselves under threat and under struggle and sometimes under very fear of their lives. The same thing can be true in our world as well. His promise is that you will never face any source of fear alone. He will be with you. He will be there. If we had a few moments this morning, I could open up the floor this morning for people to share testimonies, and the question would be this: can you tell of a time when you were really afraid and God revealed His presence and brought His peace? And there would be person after person after person who would share testimonies. I remember when I was going through a time of physical struggle, and God was there. I remember when I was experiencing the depths of grief, and God was there. I remember when I was trying to figure out the solution to a problem, and God was faithful. I remember all of those times when I was about ready to give up, and He was there. And He always will be, because that's His promise to you. I will be there. I remember several years ago, hearing Dr. Lance share a story about a woman in the church he was serving who was struggling at the end of her life. And he said there came that point in her life when this woman, who once had been well known for memorizing scripture, could only remember one little thing. And that one little thing she remembered was from the Great Commission: "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And as time went by, even that began to slip away, and it became, "Lo, I am with you always." And then he said, and at the very end, all she could remember was, "With you." And he made the point of saying, if I can only remember one thing in my life, that's the one thing I want to remember. God is with me. And God is with you. And you can depend upon Him. What has the Lord promised to all who trust in Him? That He will be with you all the way to eternity. There'll never be a moment in your life when you are alone. Jesus also wanted His disciples to remember this. You don't have to be afraid because I am not afraid. They would have had a real reason to panic if Jesus Himself was afraid of the storm, but He was not. One of the details I love about this story is the fact that Jesus was sound asleep in the stern when the storm arose out of nowhere. In fact, what I really like is not just that Jesus was sleeping as the storm was raging, but they had to tug on Him and wake Him up. Jesus, don't you realize what's going on? Jesus, we're scared to death. Jesus, how can you not be afraid? But He was absolutely at peace in the midst of it all. Even when He experienced the decks rolling and bucking beneath Him, Jesus expressed no sense of fear or even concern. In fact, the disciples had to cry out, "Don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus, don't you see what's going on? Don't you recognize we're about to lose our lives? Don't you realize how much danger we're in?" Jesus didn't display any fear at all, nor should He have. There are reasons that Jesus was at peace in the center of it all. The first thing was this: He had total trust in His Heavenly Father. He had come to this planet because He trusted His Father's plan. He had served and ministered to people because of His Father's plan. And He recognized, "My Father is with me, just like I'm with you. I don't have any reason to be afraid." Jesus was not afraid because He knew He had a mission to complete. And He realized where He was, what He was on the way to. He was on His way to the cross. He was on His way to Jerusalem. He recognized He had to fulfill His mission, which was to give His life a ransom for many, to rise from the dead, to open the doors to everlasting life. And that had not been completed. Why would He be afraid? And most of all, Jesus was not afraid because He knew He was the one who created it all. Everything that was going on around Him was under His control. There's incredible reassurance in knowing the one who stands above anything we fear. While we may feel as though our circumstances are falling apart, the Lord is simply saying, "I'm the one who made it all. Don't be afraid." Long ago, when Jewish pilgrims were making their way to worship at the temple in Jerusalem, they would sing a song of faith and confidence in the Lord together. This is what they would sing: "I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep." He is in control. The Lord is never afraid, and you don't have to be if you're continually depending upon Him. "I'm with you. I'm not afraid. I am in control." I love the picture that Mark paints of how Jesus calmed the storm. No loud voices, no dramatic gesture. The Bible simply says, "Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" He spoke to the elements in a tone of calm command. I love the fact that the Bible says He spoke. He didn't yell. He didn't struggle. He didn't strive. He spoke and said, "Peace, be still." When Jesus calmed the storm, there was no sign of strain or struggle against the elements. The Lord told creation what to do, and creation recognized the voice of its master and did what it was commanded to do. Jesus was in control. I think that's important because often when we find ourselves in a place of great fear, it's not the threat that frightens us the most. It is the sense that we have completely lost control. If you've ever been driving an automobile on a rainy or an icy road and you come to that point where that automobile hydroplanes and you recognize you don't know whether you're going to the left or the right, you don't know what's going to happen, is the car going to turn over, there's this great sense of fear because all of a sudden I thought I was in control and I've realized I'm not. There's nothing I can do to help myself. Things are going on. We can't stop it. We can't change it. Sometimes you feel like your life is hydroplaning and you've lost all ability to control what's going on. It is a terrifying thing to feel helpless. I've done all I can. I've tried for just as hard as I know how. And it's all out of control. That must be how the disciples felt that night. You know, you think about these guys. Most of them were fishermen. They felt absolutely secure when they were out on the water. The Sea of Galilee was their home away from home. But that storm had changed everything. They couldn't use their sails. They couldn't steer with their rudder. Their anchors were useless. There was nothing they could do. They were completely helpless until Jesus spoke. And the same thing is true today. We like to tell ourselves we've got everything under control. We want to believe nothing is coming our way that we can't handle. But life has a way of turning everything we expected upside down. A word from the doctor, a call on the phone, a pink slip at work. Suddenly you don't know what to do, where to turn. You realize how helpless and out of control you are and have always been. That whole idea that we have things under control is an illusion. The truth is, we don't have things under control. We know the one who has things under control. We know the one who can do anything he wants to do. And you belong to him, and you don't have to be afraid. You would be lost except for Jesus. He's in control. So what does Jesus want you to learn from his question? What did he want the disciples to learn when he asked, "Why are you so fearful?" They had seen him at rest in the midst of the storm. They had witnessed him taking control of the wind and the waves, but there was a lesson they still needed to learn. And it's the lesson that you and I need to remember as well. Very simply, Jesus was teaching them, keep your eyes on me, not on your circumstances. Keep your eyes on me. I'm the one who's in control. Whatever you experience, keep your eyes on me. When you don't understand, keep your eyes on me. When fear is clawing at your heart, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. And trust me. That's why Jesus asked his disciples a second compelling question that day. He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" It reminds me that what the Lord wants from you most is trust. Simple trust. Why is it that you have no faith? What he was really saying was, fellas, don't you trust me? I'm here with you. I'm in control. Don't you trust me? Because you can. And you should. So that no matter what may be happening around you, or what may be happening within you, or what might be happening to you, or what might be happening in the lives of people you love, the Lord is simply saying, keep your eyes on me and trust me. Whatever causes you to fear, whenever you know you're out of control, hand it over to the Lord and trust him. Because all he requires from you is simple faith. Faith for today and faith for tomorrow and faith forever. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Have faith. Trust me. It's a compelling question. Why are you afraid? And I wonder this morning if you're experiencing fear in your own life. Maybe there's some here and there's a great uncertainty because you recognize you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you realize, I've been trying to do this all by myself, and I have learned I'm not enough, not all by myself. I need someone who's in control. I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Maybe today you need to trust him. And in a minute when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you need to know Jesus, I would love to introduce you to him. All you got to do is come here, come forward, and I will introduce you to the one who loves you, the one you can trust forever. Maybe today you're here and there's particular things you're struggling with and you just want somebody to pray with you, and you just might want to come and say, hey, would you pray for me? This is what's going on in my life. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing the Lord wants you to be part of this fellowship because this is part of what he's saying to you about keeping your eyes on him. It's that he's leading you to this place. Maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks to you, you come. Let's stand together.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light from the darkness you see. And life more abundant and free. Thank you.
Let me ask you to be seated again just for a minute. John, come and join me here. If you've not met John DeRoe yet, here he is. He's been coming for, what, that's four, five, six
weeks?
Three
or 4 weeks, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you ever want to meet somebody who is very thoughtful about whether they want to join a church, here he is, because we have had some great conversations. He and I have, he and Larry has, and he's been active in our Sunday school and in our worship, and today he comes because this is where the Lord is leading him to serve and follow Jesus. And John, I'm just so excited that you're here. And if you want to welcome him and let him know how glad you are about this decision, you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And that's welcome, John.
Thank you.
We're so grateful you're going to be part of this church.
Well, I mean, for you all, one of the key factors when I even started thinking about attending here, your creed, your statement of faith, what you believe, was on redemption. And when I heard you say unashamedly, Christ came to redeem all people. Mm-hmm. And the atonement was for all. That was especially meaningful for me.
And it's true, isn't it? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Amen.
You're going to want to greet John in just a few minutes and welcome him to our fellowship and let him know how glad you are about the decision that he's made. And so I'm going to ask Judith, if she will, in just a minute, to help him go to the lobby. And then after the service, you come by and welcome him to our fellowship. It's been a good day in God's house. Let's stand together again. Just so grateful for that decision. Look forward to seeing you tonight for our evening worship. Now, y'all, you've heard me ramble on about Romans. I'm just telling you, tonight we are on chapter 16. We are on the home stretch, and we have had a great time. We've got a great time tonight. It's going to be a good session. I hope you'll be there with us. Let's bow together now for a final prayer and then a last song. Father, we do pray, thanking you, Lord, for leading John to be part of our church fellowship. Lord, we thank you for this serious follower of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, to bless him as he grows in faith, that we might bless him, that he might bless us, and that together we might be all you want us to be. Father, we do continue this morning to lift up the family of Joanne Campbell. We thank you, Lord, for one who is a great saint of God in this church. And Father, as we learn more about her service, we'll share that. Help us, Lord, to wrap that family up with our love and your love. And bless us as we go from this place. Lord, help us to trust you in the midst of those times when we're uncertain and when we're fearful and when we're not sure where to turn, to recognize all we really have to do is exactly what we just sang. We turn our eyes on Jesus. And that's all we really need to know. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.